Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Biz Bros Podcast. My name is Kyle Nelson. You all know who I got right here. My amazing co-host, Mr. Eli Libby.
Oh, yeah, man. Looking forward to the topic.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a good guest today. Great conversation. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm doing really good. Does my headphones look kind of far back? I kind of think they're far back.
Well, mine look kind of far back, and it's making this receding hairline worse, but anyways.
It's called a widow's peak.
Widow's peak. Oh, I guess that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I
think that is what it's called.
Women? No? Okay. Nope. Anyway, so today we have an awesome guest, but before that, we're going to roll an intro, and you're going to hear a little bit more about the Biz Bros. What's going on? Welcome to the Biz Bros Podcast. My name's Kyle Nelson. I've got my great co-host and good friend here, Mr. Eli Libby.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. It's
beautiful
the episode,
day
man.
Today, man.
Absolutely.
We're really excited for this episode. We've got a great guest.
Absolutely.
Number two, clear, simple images.
Amazon sellers.
The first thing that I'm talking about in this article is
really looking for that initial credit.
You need to be thinking about product photography and video production. And today we have Mr. Caleb Avery. He's the founder and CEO of Tilled. He's going to tell us a little bit more about Tilled coming up. But first, we're going to learn a little bit more about him. So, Caleb, welcome to the Biz Bros Podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on today. Really appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely, man. We're really excited to hear the story and kind of what you guys are doing to kind of shake up the industry and how you're helping the industry. So we're going to dive in. But the whole podcast today is learning your story. And again, learning more about Tilled. I think that's really the power of this podcast. So let's first dive into you and your background. Tell the listeners a little bit more about you.
Yeah, a little bit about my background. I got started in the payment space at 19, going door to door, selling payment processing services to small business owners. And over time, we scaled up that business to a pretty significant point and helped thousands of businesses around the country with their payment services. But over time, as we were scaling up that first business, we started getting brought in on consulting opportunities for software platforms. Oh, and cool. A lot of these guys were anywhere between about $100 million up to about $1 billion in annual processing volume. And really the kind of core problem that most of these software platforms were struggling with was the idea of monetizing their payments or trying to figure out how to generate revenue off of the payments flowing through their platform. And that was really the kind of core experience that really introduced me to the issues that these software platforms were having, which is at the heart of what we do here at Tilled now.
That's awesome.
Wow. That is really cool. Kind of finding a needle in the haystack there in terms of how to generate revenue from that.
That's what it sounds like. How long has Tilled been around?
So I founded this business back in January of 2019. So a little over three years into this journey, which, a lot of people think about kind of the overnight success, idea, but the reality is it's just such a slog building, a business to get to the point where we are today. But we're sitting at 65 employees here today. And so it's definitely been a fun ride over the last few years.
That's amazing. And how have the last few years kind of influenced growth? Have you seen a big pop in growth in the last couple of years?
Yeah, certainly. So, when you think about the journey to get to where, we are in the business in the early days, I was a solo founder. I was doing, everything. And when we started this past year, we had five employees on the team. We ended last year with about 40 people on the team. We had about 20 hires in Q1 of this year. And so it's definitely been, the kind of proverbial hockey stick Amazing. Growth story for us. Especially over the last 18 months or so.
Yeah. And what's spearheading that growth?
Yeah. Q1, what happened?
Yeah. For one, I think the market as a whole has really caught on to this idea of payment facilitation. And, I was alluding earlier in my background about, going out and consulting for software platforms. And one of the big things that the software platforms were struggling with was the onboarding experience for their customers. And so if you think about, let's take a gym management platform looking to onboard gyms onto their solution. Historically, most of these guys had this like instant digital boarding experience with Stripe, but Stripe was taking all of the revenue from all of the payments flowing through their platform. And so a lot of our clients would go partner with the legacy processors like TSYS, First Data, WorldPay, Shift4. There's dozens of these guys out there, but they had PDF onboarding experiences for their customers.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, they would be emailing the gym a, you know, 10, 15 page PDF document to say, hey, you know, can you print this out and sign it and scan it and send it back to us with a driver's license, voided check, previous processing statements, you know, tax returns. And so super clunky, you know, experience for these platforms. And over the last few years, a lot of these platforms have started to hear about this concept of the PayFac or payment facilitator model. And, you know, well-known PayFacs are companies like Stripe, Square, Braintree, and PayPal. And so as these companies have really risen to prominence and you hear about, you know, the $100 billion valuation that companies like Stripe get, now a lot of these smaller software platforms are saying, well, hold on a second, how can I take advantage of the benefits of the payment facilitator model? And the reality is, historically, that was like a two-year multi-million dollar process. And so, you know, unless you had thousands of customers, billions of dollars in volume, and pretty patient investors, you're not going to spend, you know, 2 years and millions of dollars to go do that. And the core premise behind Tilled and our offering that we call PayFac as a service is allowing these software platforms to come leverage the benefits of the payment facilitator model, but get up and running in a few weeks without having to hire a team, without having to take on liability. And so it's really allowing these guys to take advantage of the incredible benefits of this model without all of the traditional time, energy, money, and effort required to go become a PayFac themselves.
Wow. That is amazing. You've filled a gap that sounds like was very resource intensive before. Wow. That's really cool. So let's walk back a little bit into the journey. You mentioned journey a couple of times. You mentioned being a solopreneur. Going back into those days, you were wearing all the different hats. What would you have done differently, knowing how you are today, who you are, and some of the different processes? What would you have done differently in those early days?
Yeah, good question. I think I waited a little bit too long to bring people on to help me, you know, in the journey. You know, the reality is it's tough to be, you know, a solopreneur or solo founder. And, you know, the reality is, as we started to bring more people on the team, that's when we really started to see the explosive growth of the business. And so I think as I got out of, you know, my own way and out of the way of the business growing and brought on, you know, smart people to help me grow the business, that was really one of the big turning points for us and our growth story. The other practical reality, though, is that capital was one of the bigger constraints, you know, for not bringing on more people earlier on in the journey. You know, we waited, I guess, a little over 18 months before we brought on a formal round of outside capital. And had we done that sooner, we would have been able to, you know, hire people and build out the team much sooner.
Wow. That's really cool.
What are some of the other, like, through the past 18 months of growth right now, what are some of the biggest pain points that you've had?
Yeah, I think for me in particular, one of the big changes when you go from, you know, a team of five people to a team now of 65 people is that evolution for me of going from that founder mindset, now transitioning into this idea of like the true like CEO mindset, where, you know, when you're a team of five people, I'm on sales calls, I'm driving, you know, product roadmap, I'm in, you know, the daily scrum with the engineering team and really, you know, down in the weeds involved in the day-to-day tactical operations of the business. And for a founder like myself that's passionate about what we're building and passionate about the problems that we're solving, it can be hard to transition into that more strategic mindset where you're focusing on the vision and team communication. And it's just a very different role and a very different job. And I think for a lot of founders, that can be a really tough transition to really acknowledge that you need to get out of, you know, the day-to-day tactical of running the business. And it's not this like overnight shift. It's a process of figuring out, okay, now I need to take a step back in marketing. Now I need to take the step back in sales, because you bring in the leaders, the functional leaders that can really take control of those functional areas to drive them forward much more efficiently than, you know, I, as the founder, was doing previously.
Wow.
What is that very cool visioning process like, being the CEO? You know, you hear that a lot, you know, the CEO is there to be strategic, to do the vision, to kind of be the, evangelist for the company, but what does that mean to you, especially visioning? What is that?
I think there's a couple of different components to it. You know, one is, you know, externally setting the vision with investors and across the industry about, hey, here's where we're going, and painting this exciting picture of kind of the growth trajectory of what we can do with the platform and what we can accomplish as a business. The other part of it is internal and getting your employees and your team to buy into, you know, the mission, the vision, the values of the organization. And, you know, externally that creates excitement, but internally to me, it's more about creating alignment across the organization to say, hey, here's what's important, you know, in Q2, here's what's important this year, and here's the overall target that we're shooting for over the next, you know, 3-year time horizon, so that we make sure that individually each person on the team on a daily basis is executing activities that are contributing towards the overall vision, but then the strategy of, you know, how to get there across the next couple of quarters.
Wow. That's really cool. It's a great breakdown. I think all the listeners are really appreciate that. You mentioned outside capital. Is that something you said you should have done earlier? Is that something that you would still do? I know you mentioned you would do it again, but how was the process of going through that?
Yeah. The reality is it's a pretty intimidating process when you're first getting started. And so, you know, for us, we raised our first outside capital, a $2.15 million seed round back in November of 2020. And the reality for me, you know, that process started really, I'd say, back in March of that year, long before the fundraise, thinking through the messaging, the positioning, starting to build out the pitch deck and really thinking through the story of what we were building. And I think for me, you know, it was my first time going out and actually raising outside capital. And so going through that process of really learning how to pull the pitch deck together, how to, you know, pull that story together that investors would find interesting, and then iterating through that story was, you know, one part of the process. The other part is, how do you get in front of investors? And so, you know, you can have the best pitch deck in the world, but if you can't get in front of the right people and the right investors that'll be interested in, you know, the stage that you're at, the industry that you're in, and, you know, the product that you're building, it's really all for naught. And for me, I really didn't have a network at that point in time where I could just say, oh, well, here's the 10 people I'm going to email and I'll have my seed round done, you know, in a few weeks. That wasn't the position that I was, you know, entering that process with. And so for me, it really started with cold emails out to investors initially to try and get feedback on the pitch and then network to see if I could get in front of the right people. And I was fortunate enough that I sent out a couple of cold emails to the right people that ended up introducing me to the group that led my seed round and really got us connected into the right communities that really set us up for success with our future fundraising efforts.
Wow. That's so cool. Are you looking for another round? Have you been out there seeking another round?
We are always fundraising. And so, you know, for us, we did that $2.15 million seed round back in November of 2020. We closed on an $11 million A round last May. And then we just did an $11 million extension before the end of the year. And so, you know, from a balance sheet perspective, we're certainly set on capital to fuel the growth of the business in the short term, but we're always looking for the right strategic partners that can come in and help us, you know, elevate the business to that next level of growth.
Wow. That's amazing.
How long did that first round take you from like, okay, I need to get some funding to money in the bank?
So the seed round, I would say we really ramped up the process in July. Was when I started sending out cold emails and having really initial conversations with investors. We got our term sheet, I think, in late August. And then it took us through to Friday the 13th, actually, in November to close the funding round.
Wow.
What was the most difficult part of it? Like, what is it when you think back, you're like, oh, man, that had me going, or your nerd? Or was it a smooth process for you? I know that's not a smooth process.
It's never a smooth process. I think anyone that says that's probably lying to themselves. I think for us, I probably underestimated, once we had the term sheet in place, how long it would take to secure the rest of the funding. So obviously the term sheet is a pretty pivotal part in the fundraising process. But at that point in time, I still needed other investors to fill out, you know, the balance of the round. And it probably took me another 50 phone calls from having the term sheet with investors to get the rest of the round pulled together. And, you know, I certainly wasn't mentally prepared. You know, when we got the term sheet, it was like, oh, great, we're almost done. And the reality was that was almost like the beginning, of the journey. And it took us several months from that point to get, you know, all the investors around the table, get through the diligence process, get the legals in place to actually get to that point of cash in the bank. Took quite a bit longer than I necessarily originally expected.
Dang, that's crazy to think about. Yeah. How long it takes from getting the term sheet and then getting the money in the bank. That's really cool.
So what's your current day to day for you as a founder of the company? Been there since the beginning. 3 years later, I know you started saying you're really focused on the visioning and being loud about it. But what is it that you're doing every day?
Yeah, good question. So fundraising is always on my list, and so on a pretty consistent basis, taking calls with both current investors as well as, potential future investors, just to network and build that relationship towards the next round of funding. And then there's kind of internal and external portions of what I do, externally focused on the large partnerships that we have in place with banks and acquirers and partners like that. And so both working through the existing partnerships and relationships to improve those, as well as, consistently looking for new partners to help us grow and expand the business. And then, internally, we've got a team of 65 people. And so trying to figure out how to, keep all of those people motivated, working on the right things, and then really supporting them. How can I unblock them, whether that's capital or getting on a call to help, close a deal? My background is obviously in sales. And so I do spend a decent amount of time working with a lot of our enterprise customers to help them think through the solution and, get up and running with Tilled. But a lot of it for me has transitioned out of the day-to-day tactical into that more kind of support strategic function.
Yeah. Right on. Interesting. That's super cool. So what is next as we kind of come to the end of the podcast pretty quick here? What is next for Tilled?
Yeah. So growth is always on the horizon. So, we're sitting here at about 65 people on the team. We'll probably end the year, north of 100 people on the team. Couple other things for us, one is always thinking about the international expansion opportunities within the business. Today, we help software platforms in the US and Canada to monetize their payments, but we've got some large partners that are pulling us into the European markets. And so really looking at that international expansion opportunity. And then the other is looking at additional ways to create revenue streams for our software partners. And so when you look at a lot of the vertical software companies that we work with, they're thinking about, ancillary product offerings to help their merchants. And one of the big ones that we've identified is an integrated lending solution so that, our vertical software partners can give their merchants access to capital. And I think especially in the current environment, that access to capital is a pretty big one for merchants. And so if we can offer that in a turnkey solution that helps their customers as well as creating an additional revenue stream for their business, that really helps position us relative to any of our competitors.
Sounds like a busy future.
We got a lot going on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
So if there was one thing that you hope that our listeners could walk away with from you inspiring them a bit, what would that be?
Yeah, I think for me, entrepreneurship is a journey and it takes support. And so that's both support, from your team as well as, all of the people around you. And I think especially for people in the early days, finding the right people to help support you through that journey is just an incredibly important part of the process, because that's a pretty critical element of the foundation of your business, to surround yourself with that support to be able to get to where you want to go.
That's key, amazing. Man. Support, just, having people in your sphere of influence that are better than you. It's always my key.
Absolutely.
That's why he found me.
No. There we go. Here we go. Let's wrap it up.
Well, Caleb, awesome, man. Well, if people wanted to connect with you, learn more about Tilled, where would they do that?
So certainly I am very active on LinkedIn. So I would certainly recommend following me as well as the company on LinkedIn. Our website is another great place to start. That is tilled.com, T-I-L-L-E-D. We also are active on Twitter and Instagram.
Nice.
Amazing.
Well, Caleb, thank you so much for joining us, man. We really, really appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me on today. Really appreciate it.
Awesome.
And if you haven't yet, please subscribe to the Biz Bros podcast. If you want to listen to great guests just like Caleb, that's where you're going to find it. We have hundreds of episodes now, so jump on there, check them out, and subscribe anywhere you listen to your podcast. Thank you so much, and we'll see you in the next podcast.